RPG lessons learned. When the game is over, when your players are gone, that's when lessons are learned. Find us online at rpgllpodcast.com. Email us at rpgllpodcast@gmail.com. And find us on Blue Sky at rpgll. Hi, welcome to RPG Lessons Learned, the show where you can learn from our mistakes. I'm Dusty, and with me, as always, is Tanner. Hi, Tanner.
Hey, Dusty. How's it been, man?
It's been a while since we've talked. It's been almost 2 months. I haven't gamed very much since we've talked. It's been a very busy time at work, but you have finished a campaign, sir.
I have. I always feel like it's a little, I don't want to get morbid, but I don't know how many campaigns any of us have left in our life. So being able to tick one off, you know, it feels like a little medal or a little trophy I can put on the shelf and be proud of.
I'm delighted you brought that up. That will not affect how I sleep at all tonight. So you finished your Lancer campaign.
I did. Yep. Playing a game of Lancer online with a group of local friends of mine. It's still, they're local to me, but it would be like 45 minutes for us all to get together on a weeknight. So I'm pretty sure I mentioned this before. We all played on Roll20. And yeah, by my math, I think we had a 10 session campaign, which is pretty fair. I think it's a pretty, maybe some people would say it's pretty short, but for such a combat focused game, it was basically one half of it was an extended pre-written adventure, and then the other half of it was all homebrewed scenarios and stuff.
So when last we talked, let's pick up right there. When last we talked, I was giving you different ideas, suggestions. I don't actually remember what any of those were, because for us in real time, it has been probably 3 or 4 months. How did you end the campaign? What were the last few sessions like?
So the premise of where we were sort of at the end and when we, where we last talked, was that the players were going into this extra dimensional cyberspace to get powers from an AI god to do their bidding on this planet that they were invested in kind of overthrowing the negligent rulers of. Part of my writer's block with that was that this was in cyberspace, and so like anything was possible. So I had to like kind of figure out what I wanted to do in terms of like the actual mechanics of the encounter to get these powers from this god. So I don't know if, like I said, I don't exactly remember what we talked about, but we talked about doing like a point crawl or like something along the lines of like resetting and like having to do an encounter over and over again until you get it right. And I did steal one idea from you, which was putting the players in the minds and bodies of civilians trying to escape a mech attack. And that, I think, was a big success. I basically assigned each player a character, and they were in this urban war zone where there were two mechs attacking, and they were trying to evacuate, and each player had like one skill that they could use to try to save as many people as they could. And my players, I don't know, they're not my usual group. They didn't like take it as super seriously, maybe, as I intended, but at the same time, I think they all did like it, and it kind of leads into something that that was interesting. So like I did this encounter, and then the AI said, this is what you people are, like, this is what you're doing. How can you actually do this? And I had a combat after that planned, but my players actually like talked their way out of it and convinced, to me, to my satisfaction, this god to loan them the fleet for their own purposes.
Nice. It sounds like probably the session before last, and then I assume the last session was them using the fleet?
It was. So one of my players, his character, he wanted to like merge with a higher technological consciousness. So he had talked to me, and he's like, he basically accepted that he would become a vessel, a conduit for this god. And he talked to me out of character. He's like, I want my character to die this last session. And he's like, I'll leave you to like figure that out and stuff. But he's like, I want to I want this to be the end of my character's arc. So what we did is we had a tactical combat at the start of the last session where they were using the fleet to defend themselves against the evil empress's forces. And my player who was playing is the character who wanted to sacrifice themselves. I told him, I said, okay, is channeling and using his psychic powers to control the fleet. Everybody else is defending. And I said to Iz's player, I said, here's a list of powers you can do. And he was basically playing the fleet instead of his character. And his character became the objective of defend this character. And I gave him like a little mini game. I said, all right, here's like the fleet powers you can use. You can call down air strikes, orbital strikes, send in drones, all this cool stuff to keep him engaged, even though his player was sort of out of action.
That's cool.
Have you ever done something like that? Have you ever had a player wanting to sacrifice themselves for story reasons? Or like, have you ever made a mini game within a combat, I guess, as well?
Yes, I've done both of those things. Neither time, it didn't go terribly well for me. One I talked about many, 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 many episodes ago with the Halloween game where all the zombies were attacking the saloon. I shouldn't say saloon. I should say tavern. Tavern's the best word. And Mike, his character, he was tired of playing his character and he wanted to sacrifice his character, like have a different character class.
Yeah.
And secretly we were like, let's make your character the bad guy. And at a certain moment you'll reveal. And I kind of telegraphed to the other players and I thought to him that he was about to switch and he didn't get it. And they did. And they all attacked him and killed him.
Oh.
And it's like, oh, that betrayal arc didn't go the way we wanted because he was going to reveal himself to be like a necromancer the whole time.
Yeah.
So he wanted to sacrifice himself. That didn't go great. And then I've played combats with mini games. Basically, I had a well that just kept spawning kobolds, 4 kobolds every turn until you figured out how to stop it. But the kobolds just overwhelmed the players before they could figure out the things to stop the kobolds.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, like, you're doing a piece of game design on the fly, really. Maybe not on the fly. Like, you have chance to kind of think about it. But mine didn't go super great either. Like, the story moment was great because Iz basically got confronted by the people of this planet and are saying, like, you're just going to be another ruler to us. Like, you're coming in here with a cudgel to beat us into submission. Like, yeah, sure, you're gonna knock off the person at the top, but what guarantee do you have that we're not gonna just be oppressed by you next? And he had the fleet destroy itself above the planet, like self-destruct, as a sign of like, I'm here to as a scalpel to take out the old and then to give up my power. And that moment I think narratively worked really well, and we had talked kind of vaguely about that. The thing with the powers, basically I said, okay, here's a list of powers, each one of them costs a certain number of points and does a different thing, like, oh, deal 2d6 damage to this space, or mark target, basically like, kind of like a hunter's mark type effect on everybody on the map. And these each had different point values, and I had him just roll a d6 at the start of each turn to determine how many points he had, and he could spend them however he wanted while talking, you know, with the party to strategize. I gave him too few points. Like, I wanted there to be decisions about it, but like, I think we had like 2 or 3 rounds in a row where he got like a 1 or a 2, and he's like, well, I guess I do this. And I'm like, well, crap, like, that's not what I wanted this to feel like. So I don't feel super bad about that, because like, I don't know how I would have detected that unless I play tested it, you know what I mean? Like, in retrospect, sure, it could have been a d8 or like a d6 plus 2, but I don't know, that's pretty tough to figure out.
It is. Yeah, maybe a d6 and a d4 and you keep the highest,
something like that, like to at least give you some sort of normalization to it. But anyway, so after that we had that big tactical combat, and then I said, all right, you are going to be infiltrating the Empress's palace on foot, and we're going to end the story that way. And we played the rules of Lancer outside the mechs for the finale. basically the way that Lancer works is that you have like skills, they're called triggers in Lancer, and you roll a d20 and you add your trigger if it happens to apply, and you're trying to get a 10 and that's it. I am free to like give advantage or disadvantage. But still, that makes you pretty broadly capable. Like all my players had triggers that were like between +2 and +6. So like they had around a 75% chance to succeed at something they were good at. And I made a point crawl and I said, all right, here's where you enter the palace. Here are all the different locations. Each location is going to have a challenge. You can either overcome the challenge with rolls, or you can go back another way and try and do this. So I ran kind of this montage infiltration of the palace, and my players said that was their favorite part of the whole game.
The whole game, meaning the whole campaign?
So we had a little diagnostic, a little RPG lessons learned moment after, and I said, what worked for this campaign? What didn't? And they said, I loved all the parts when it was freeform and we were just rolling skills to try and get where we wanted.
Wow.
Yeah. So that gobsmacked me a little bit. And like none of them said, like they all said about the tactical combats, they're like, they were all good. They appreciated that they never had a combat with the same objective twice, which I consider that to be a pretty big win for myself, considering there were 10 sessions of 4E style tactical combats and I kept it fresh. They're like, it was all good, but they're like, they felt energized by the freeform stuff.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I almost don't know what to say about that. It mirrors my experience with fourth edition, where we'd have these amazing combats and these dynamic environments with these dynamic enemies. I mean, unparalleled, bar none, fourth edition was an incredible miniatures skirmish war game. It was absolutely purpose built for that.
As is Lancer in its similarities.
But it's funny how the players are like, now the fun parts when we just weren't doing what the system was intended to do.
And it's like, what are we doing? Why are we talking about systems? The players don't care, Dusty. It felt like, I don't know, like the man behind the curtain got revealed or something. The only thing I can say to that is I wonder, my theory, and maybe this is me coping, that there are two types of fun. There's moment-to-moment fun, and there is, I'll remember this part of the game in 10 years fun. I think moment to moment combat is fun. It is fun to be like, oh, I'm getting a flank on this guy. I can use this as a piece of cover. Oh, if you use this power, I can use this power on my turn. Like my players were all engaged and they were all doing that. But I think that that type of fun is so ephemeral and leaves your mind as soon as you're out of the combat situation. Do you think there's any truth to this theory of mine? And then the broader story stuff, I roll the dice to swing it on a chandelier, like that's the stuff that people remember and talk about their game 5 years from now.
I think you're right. I think that's hugely insightful. In a dungeon crawl, we forget the fun of I roll a ton of doors. Ooh, yeah, okay. Oh, I hear some guys. Oh, what do we do, guys? Oh, let's take the hinges off the door. Like you won't remember those parts because it's all very mechanical. It's someone once said old school D&D is a game about doors.
Interesting.
And I don't think you remember all the doors, but you'll remember, you know, the 10 minutes of figuring out what to do with the door, you'll forget, but you'll remember the 15 minutes of killing the kobolds, you know, or the 2 minutes, if it's a surprise round, of surprising the kobolds on the other side of the door and like taking them out. So no, I think you're
screwing over the mayor when he tries to undercut you or something like that. Like, I think players really like having big swings that affect the world. And I think combat is 100 tiny swings that affect the world.
Yeah.
And in they're only really, when you look at any single role in combat, you accomplish way less than you do outside of combat with a role generally.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's true with any procedure is what I'm trying to say. It's like the procedure of combat, the procedure of dungeon crawling. The procedure is fun in the moment, but you forget that the procedure is fun, but you remember the moments the procedures create.
Yeah. And then we kind of ended the session with my players narrating sort of what happened to their characters. By the way, I will say I had, after Iz's character sacrificed himself, I had him play another NPC during this infiltration. And I said, here's this character. Here's her, the three things she's good at, yada, yada, yada. And she was a character that the players already knew. So I did keep the player looped in. I didn't just have Izza's player sit around and do nothing for the second half of the session, which is what I was kind of worried about, like when he talked about wanting to sacrifice himself. So I did prepare for that and had him engaged as a player throughout the whole rest of the thing. And I got to basically have my players narrate their epilogues. And like one of my players like set up plot points for the next campaign if we ever pick this up, which was awesome. Like I love my that my players were like dropping little plot nuggets of and like ending their character story on a cliffhanger for next time. So, you know, whether we ever explore that or not, who knows, but my players were engaged with the story of it, and I think that that was the biggest win.
That's awesome. Did you ask them for numeric ratings 1 to 10?
Oh, I didn't. I think it, everyone felt like a 7 to 8 range, which I think is pretty good. At least if I had to sort of pick up what they were putting down, that's what I would have guessed. But yeah, so that it was just a big shocker to learn that, like, man, what were we playing this tactical game for? And I think a lot of my players, they came to me and they said, hey, this game sounds cool. I want to play it. Will you run it? And I said, yes, I already own it. I'll run it. So I think a lot of them maybe didn't quite know what they were getting into with Lancer, or were drawn in by one aspect of it and maybe didn't consider the super tactical aspect of it. But they said that the worst part of the game was that it felt like two games, and me as the GM was trying to glue those two parts of the game together with a story each time. Yeah. And we had one session without combat, and they liked that one too. And we kind of talked about, I'm like, me as the GM, I said, yeah, like basically trying to figure out a reason to have a tactical combat every session or most sessions was like really tricky. And there's only certain types of stories you can tell with that. You know what I mean?
That feedback about two systems that are glued together takes me right back to fourth edition as well. There's all the stuff that's on the grid, and then there's all the stuff that's like skill checks and skill challenges. And they're just, they feel very different.
Yeah. And I don't mind on paper the idea of like a game having two sides to it. You know what I mean? Plenty of games have two sides to it. Like a lot of gumshoe games, like here's the investigation, here's the downtime. D&D is like that. Like here's downtime rules for stuff. Here's adventuring rules. So like, I don't quite know how to disentangle or like what to learn from this. You know what I mean? Because like on paper, the fact that, yeah, the role-playing stuff should not be as crunchy as the mech stuff. I would agree with that. That being said, they made it that way. And I look at it and something is still off. You know what I mean?
I do. So the $64,000 question before we go to lessons learned, would you play Lancer again? And if so, how would you run it differently so that you had fun with it?
I would 100% run it again. I had a fun time coming up with the stories in this sci-fi world. It's a very interesting world. I had fun once I figured out like my proclivities for how I like to run combat. I loved being able to reskin enemies and give this enemy a new power. And like, I felt engaged as a GM the whole time in combat in a fun way, not in a bookkeepy way. I would run it again. I would run it from the start as a more player-driven thing. I think the first half of the campaign being slightly on rails and working for the man, I don't think it did us any favors. I guess it was good to like learn the system and be able to understand like why certain things of the game work and like give us some structure. But the story wasn't there for us with this one. The overall narrative investment was pretty low on it. So I would do like a very big session zero and say, who are your characters? Why are they working together? What kind of missions do you have? Okay, I can prepare for that one session ahead of time, like I did in the back half of this game. So I would basically skip the preamble now that I know how to play it and get to the good stuff.
And I think the lesson learned is the huge insight you had about the two kinds of fun. Have you thought of a kind of pithy short way to sum that up as a lesson learned?
Maybe there's a difference between short-term fun and long-term fun. Short-term fun is the bean counting at the table. It's getting arguing with the GM to get a +2 if I stand in this tile as opposed to the one over. It's, oh, I can use my power with your power. But that stuff is so ephemeral, and it tends to leave the mind. And session to session, long-term, 2 weeks down the road, a month down the road, 5 years down the road, what you're going to remember are the big sweeping changes, the moment where the mayor tried to screw you over and you screwed him back over, or the time where you kicked down the door and all the kobolds were asleep and you killed them all. Like, those type of moments are going to be the memorable ones. And I guess you just have to make sure your game has both types of fun, because you can't have short-term fun. If your game is all short-term fun, it's engaging at the time, but it kind of feels like empty calories almost. But if all you have is long-term fun, then it's like, well, what are me and you doing at the table right now? You know what I mean? So I don't know. I would like to ponder upon this, because I kind of came to this realization at the same time as I was talking about it. So I definitely want to think about this a little bit more. And if you, as the listener, have any ideas about that, or can elaborate on that, or anything else, feel free to let us know, because we're kind of trying to figure this out too.
Absolutely. RPGLLpodcast@gmail.com and RPGLLpodcast on Blue Sky. Well, thank you all for listening. And Tanner, I'm going to go deal with the existential crisis you created when you pointed out we don't know how many campaigns we have left at us.
I think I have 2d8 plus 3 left.
Oh, people call them reviews, postmortems, retrospectives. We call them lessons learned, and we're sharing ours with you.